Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to be back with you for another week of diving in to God's Word together, of seeing what the Lord is saying to us, what we're doing about it, and hearing from the Father in His Word. And this week, I want to spend a little bit of time hopping around a few different parts of the book of Hebrews. And if you've been a listener and listened over the last couple of weeks, we spent some time in Hebrews chapter 10 and the later chapters of Hebrews and talked about it a little bit of the background. But there's a couple different chapters that in my own prayer, I've been hopping around to, all around this theme of Christ being our great high priest. And so as we spend the next couple of days together, I want to unpack this reality that we see in the letter of the Hebrews and that we see in our own life. And what does it mean that Christ is our high priest? What does it mean that Christ is interceding for us? And how does that apply to our own lives and our own walk with the Lord and our own submission to Him in our discipleship? And if you've been with us over the last couple of weeks, you know, we've just been beginning our time with the Psalms. And not only when I'm here on the show, but in my own prayer, I have been beginning my prayer time with praying the Psalms. And something I've been finding, friends, is that as I just go through the Psalms, and maybe you've seen this here as we've been doing it together, but as I just go through these Psalms and read them, I often find that King David, as he's writing them, is giving words to places in my heart and prayers in my heart that maybe I would want to say to the Lord, but I didn't even know was in there. I didn't know how to put to words. And so I feel like every psalm we've been starting with has just been such a direct connection, not only to what we've been talking about, but has been giving us a refrain for our day, for our week, even for that hour. And so as we read the psalm here, we're going to start in Psalm 37, because I know we left off around there, and that's a good one. And we're going to go through the consecutive psalms this week. As we go through this, I want you, as we pray, to kind of grab onto something in the psalm that can be a refrain for you today, something that you can speak back to the Lord. An example was yesterday, I was reading Psalm 34 in my prayer, and that's, "Come magnify the Lord with me, together let us praise His holy name." And so throughout the day, as my heart would maybe get tense in certain moments, as I would experience frustration, or even if I was just like standing somewhere and I wanted to go on my phone and my mind was kind of like empty and bored, instead of grasping onto something else, I would say, "Come magnify the Lord with me," and say that refrain from the psalm. So as we're reading here, Psalm 37, and as we read the psalm tomorrow and the next day and the next day, it's not just like, oh, that's a really great prayer, or it's like a really great intro prayer because you couldn't come up with something and David's really good at writing prayers. No, it's giving words to the cry of our hearts, and then we can take these words and we can speak them out and pray them throughout our day. So we're going to go ahead and pray some of Psalm 37 in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, and your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." I'm going to stop there because this is a very long psalm. It's about 40 verses, and you can continue on your own. But Lord, we just ask that You would make us righteous. As we come before You in this time and read Your word and want to hear You and want to know You, we ask that this word that we read from You would make us righteous, that through Your word You would purify us, You would make us holy, You would make us look like You, and you would secure us in your righteousness, that you would give us truly the desire of our hearts and give us the strength to commit our way to you. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing I love about this psalm is really famous for that line, trust in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your hearts. And I think a lot of times we've understood it, or at least I understood it growing up. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you. Give me what I want. You know, give me that thing that I really want. A way that I heard it put recently was, when we commit our way to the Lord, when we trust in the Lord, it's not only he gives us what we desire, but he actually gives us our desires. And does that make sense? Like, in a way of saying, he's not giving us what we want, but he places the desire for things in our hearts. So as we commit our way to him, he shapes and forms our hearts so that we desire particular things. We desire the things that are of him. We desire things that follow his law. And so it's this way of the Lord is shaping and forming our desires. And yes, he's giving us in some ways what we want, but he's giving us what we want. Like, he's showing us what we should desire, and he's giving us those things that we should desire, which I just think is so amazing. So as I said before, as we dive into God's word today, I mean, we already did in the psalm, and such a beautiful psalm, and I love over and over again that echo of the righteous one shall wait for the Lord. The righteous one shall wait for the Lord. And I know sometimes for me, I think of my past and I'm like, okay, well, yes, the Lord has cleansed me, he's redeemed me, but like, I still have this whole past that I'm dragging around, and I have this whole past that's not righteous. And I think for each and every one of us, when we come into the Lord, we go to confession, the Lord is doing a clean slate with us. We're starting over in the Lord. He throws our past and our sins into the depths of the sea, and he's calling you to be righteous. He's calling me to be righteous, and he wants to give us the blood of Jesus to purify us and to bring us into Jesus's relationship with the Father so that we can be righteous. So that we can be righteous. And God is inviting us into faith to walk as righteous men and women so that we can inherit what God has for us. And that's a little bit of what we see in Hebrews. And I want to jump around. I'm going to be jumping around through Hebrews 2, 3, and 4. Some beautiful verses. And as I said before on this show, a little background, Hebrews is a letter mainly written to the priest. It's a priestly letter. And so we see a lot of Levitical language. We see a lot of language about sacrifice. We see a lot of language about what the priest could do, about entering into the Holy of Holies. And really the crux of this letter is access to God. What kind of access do we now have to the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, the Holy of Holies? And it's this contrasting of, in the Old Testament, only the priests had access to God at certain times of the year. And they would go in and they would be in the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people. And the heart of the letter to the Hebrews is saying, Jesus has torn this veil. He is the great high priest who's gone before, and his blood has been shed. He's made sacrifice, and now you have access. And you'll remember that we talked about that in Hebrews 10, that you have access to the throne of grace. And so what God is calling us into consistently is to say, use your access. Be confident. Come before me boldly. And this is what we're going to read in the letter to the Hebrews. We see in Hebrews 1. That God has spoken to the people in the past through his prophets. But now, this is one of the first episodes we did on the show. Now, God has spoken to us by his Son. And who is his Son? Hebrews 1 verse 3, he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high, having become much more superior to the angels, as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. I love starting there. That's not the heart of what we're going to get into, but it's where we're going to go today before we dive into chapter 2, because it gives us a real clear picture of where is Jesus right now. Jesus, the only Son of God that has come. right? In many and various ways, God spoke to old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed as heir to all things and through whom he created all the world. This is Jesus, the Father, in this final hour of human history, sends his Son to remedy the sin problem, to make atonement for our sin and bring us home to the Father. And so it says, when Jesus had made purification for our sins, remember what we talked about in the psalm, becoming righteous. Jesus purifies us. He makes us righteous. And when he does this, what does Hebrews say? It says he's seated at the right hand of the Father as the one whom holds all power and authority in the universe. He's seated at the right hand of God, at the right hand of the majesty on high, becoming superior to the angels. The one who bears the very stamp of the nature of God leaves heaven, makes purification for our sins, and returns as the great high priest who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. With all power and all glory and all honor, he is higher than the angels. Why does the letter of the Hebrews start in this way? Because it's showing us, like I said, where Jesus is. There's so much chaos in the world. There's so much suffering in the world. We see wars, rumors of wars, people hating their neighbor, death, crime, suffering in our own human heart. And we're calling out for Jesus to come. And sometimes it seems like God is so far away. Sometimes it seems like God can't possibly be in control of the world. He can't possibly be over it all, but Hebrews is starting. He says, where is God? Where is Jesus? He's at the right hand of the Father. He's seated in glory and majesty. Somehow, in all of this chaos, in all of this mess, Jesus is ruling. His throne is set. I love it. In Psalm 8, it says, God looks down at the kings of the earth. The kings of the earth who are in derision against him, who are coming up against him, and he laughs. Why does he laugh? Because he says, I have set my king on Zion. I have set my king on Zion. And this is where we start from today, friends. Is going forward, we're going to see in Hebrews chapter 2 more of what Jesus has done for us and how he is our high priest. But Paul begins the letter to the Hebrews by saying, it is settled. The purification of sins has happened. And Jesus, you can be confident today. You can be confident amidst all the things that we can't be confident about, amidst all of our anxieties, amidst all of our struggles, because we have this comfort. We have this security. We have this power because the one who has purified us, the one who went to prepare a place for us, the one who loves us, who will bring us home to his Father, is seated securely on his throne and looks out over the earth and is coming again to make everything right. But right now he's seated with his Father and along with Mary, he's making intercession for us. Where is Jesus? This is where he is. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And as believers, this reality should give us comfort. It should give us strength. My God is on his throne. He's reigning. He's ruling from the security of his throne, the throne that which scripture says from out from it comes flames of fire. So I just want to invite you today, friends, to reflect on that, the security that it brings, that Jesus Christ is seated on the throne. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in Hebrews. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.